Good morning. Today we are in the book of Jonah. We're going to be in the book of Jonah for a few more weeks. We are still in chapter 1. And today, like I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about being a neighbor and loving our neighbor and taking care of our neighbor and what that means. If you look at the book of Jonah, Jonah is really there's two halves of Jonah that really, they parallel one another, that they reflect one another. Things that happen in chapter 1 look a lot like things that happen in chapter 3 and vice versa. So there are kind of similar themes going on in there. And so the first half of Jonah is about the flight from God. So Jonah is running from God. And that's what we get in the first several chapters. And then in the last half, or the second half, it's about the mission to Nineveh. And so the first half is about Jonah running from God. The second half, God gets him back on the right path, and he is headed on to the mission that God has called him to be on. And so Jonah is going to encounter people in both halves that are racially different from him and religiously different from him. And so he is not really excited about that. Matter of fact, it's the main point that that Jonah runs away. We talked about the Assyrians and those folks who Jonah is told to go and preach to, and why Jonah is not really excited about that a few weeks ago. And so Jonah is going to teach us several different things. But one of the messages that Jonah teaches us is that God cares how you relate to and trust people who are different from you. Different from you racially, different from you in a socioeconomic status, in other words, poorer or richer than you are, different from you in an issue of how they worship. And I think at this time in our country's life, we need to recognize that people are different from us, but we can still treat them with respect and treat them properly and love and honor them regardless of what race they are, what country they've come from, or even what religion they practice. Now, I'm not saying that all religions get you to heaven. That is not what I'm saying. Jesus is the only way, okay? But we need to treat people who have a different opinion with respect, not just beat them up. You know what I'm saying? Because in order to give ourselves an opportunity to share about who Jesus really is and the love he has for them, we can only do that through getting their respect back, okay? And so that is what I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. So the main thrust of what we're talking about today is that God wants us to treat people of different races and different faiths in a way that is respectful, loving, generous, and just. Loving, generous, respectful, and just. So this morning, let's jump in the book of Jonah. Let's look at, we'll start in verse 4. We'll read through verse 6, and we're going to see what happens to Jonah. If you remember what happened, what's going on previously, God tells Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh. Jonah got up and went west, which is the opposite direction of Nineveh. It says he leaves God's presence. So he goes down to Joppa, gets him a ticket to ride on a boat, and he gets on the boat. Verse 4 says this, then the Lord hurled a violent wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his God. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. And meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, what are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish. We see here a captain who goes looking for Jonah. They are in the midst of a violent, vicious storm, and Jonah is passed out without a care in the world. So what I want to talk about today is how are we as believers to treat other people? And the first thing I want us to see is that believers must point others to God. In this case, this is not what Jonah's doing. This is a bad storm. And for us to say it's a bad storm, you know, we may be on a boat and freak out when the waves get a little high. I've not been on a boat a whole lot, but been fishing in a smaller boat on a sea, in a lake, big lake that has lots of waves and lots of crashing. But I wasn't really freaked out. And these guys are freaked out. What should bother us is that these guys are professional sailors. These are not just guys like me who got in a boat, and if the seas get a little high, stomach gets a little sick, and we're like, uh-oh, I'm dying. This is not these type of guys. These guys do this for a living. They know what it's like for storms to suddenly rise up. The Mediterranean Sea is famous for having lots and lots of storms. And so when the storm hits, the guys freak out. I personally think that this was a storm that had no warning. This was not one where it's like, oh, look in the distance. Things look bad over there. I think this is a storm that came up like that. And so these guys are freaking out. It's not an easy storm. It's not a storm for us just to get through. And so they start throwing stuff off the ship. Now, mind you, these guys' job is to deliver cargo. Their job is to bring stuff to another place. Imagine it's a truck driver who opens up the back of the truck and starts throwing stuff out on the street because he wants to lighten the load so he can drive faster or easier. When he gets to where he's going, the owner of that property is going to say, where's my stuff? And so these guys are not taking this lightly. They are stripping the ship of everything that they can throw off of it. And they begin to cry out and exclaim to their gods to save them. The storm terrifies these guys. And where's Jonah? I think it's no accident that the Hebrew says he went down into the ship. He went down into the ship, he laid out, and he went to sleep. I don't know how he's sleeping at a time like this, but he's sleeping. And I think he's down there because he's trying to escape reality. He's trying to escape what God has called him to do. He's trying to run away from the fact that God has said, I have a job for you. Go to Nineveh, declare my goodness to this pagan people. And instead of doing what he is supposed to do, he goes down in the boat, he goes down into the belly of the vessel, and he goes to sleep and says, look, I'll just wake up in Tarshish and it'll all be okay. So many of us today are like Jonah. We go and we do things to escape reality. We have a culture that wants to escape reality. So much so that we have what's called virtual reality, which means we will put on goggles and we will pretend that we are in some other place, in some other time, and getting some other kind of entertainment. We want to change our reality. So we will go into a virtual reality. Or some people will try to change their reality by grabbing a bottle of alcohol. Or maybe a bottle of pills. Or some other thing that they want to do. And they try to escape reality. They try to run away from God. They say, I don't want anything to do with my life right now. I don't want anything to do with my reality. And so they want to alter their reality. And in the end, when they wake up, life still goes on and their problems are still there. They've just lost a lot of money, gone through a lot of heartache. They might be even sick the next day. And just like Jonah, we try to escape reality. We try to run from God. We try to run from our lives. And these men are calling on their gods. They're saying, help us, help us. There's no doubt in their mind that they need divine intervention. There's no doubt in their mind that they need some God to help them. And they're doing this and they're getting no response from their gods. And so they go and they look for the guy who got on the boat. And they go down, they find Jonah, and the captain says, hey, what are you doing sleeping? You need to be in prayer. Call out to your God. Maybe he'll help us. God tells Jonah to arise, go to Nineveh. And sadly, here the pagans on the boat tell Jonah, arise and call out to your God. Folks, it's time that we arise and call out to our God because the world around us needs him. There is a violent storm around us. We have people that we love and care for who are going to hell, and we are just sleeping in the boat, trying to escape reality, saying maybe God can send someone else. Maybe God can send some other point. Maybe God can send some other person to point them to Christ. All the while, we go in the belly of the boat and we sleep. And pagans have to come to us and say, can you at least cry out to your God? Can you at least pray for me? Can you at least care about me? There's a famous missionary named J. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China and created the Inland China Mission. And Hudson Taylor goes to China and he begins to preach the gospel. And he begins to tell these men and women about Jesus. And one day he gets in a conversation with a young man and he shares his faith with this man. And this man says, my father has searched his whole life for what you speak of. He has followed different religions. He's looked for different paths. And he's given all he has. And he died seeking what you speak about. How long have you known about this Jesus? And Hudson Taylor tells him, we've known for centuries. We've known about Jesus. Jesus has been known in our country, in our area, for centuries. And the man said, my father died longing and looking for this Jesus. What has taken you so long to get here? What's taken you so long to get here? We've got a world that desperately needs Jesus. And we're asleep in a boat, pretending like maybe God will send someone else. Pretending like, you know what? If God wants them to be saved, they'll be saved. Pretending like there's no such thing as the Great Commission. Pretending like we have no responsibility to share our faith. Jonah is supposed to be pointing these pagans to God, yet God has the pagans point Jonah to himself. Lord, help us that we don't get to the point of needing pagans to tell us to pray to our God. May there not be a tragedy. May there not be a hardship that the pagans have to tell us, hey, why don't you cry out to your God? These men are desperate. Believers are supposed to point people to God. But in this scenario, the pagans are pointing Jonah to his God. May we get it right the first time. Jonah has no regard for the common good of everybody. And that's the second thing I want us to understand is that believers, we got to work for the common good of other people. We've got to be people who are caring about other folks' things. We've got to care about other folks in our neighborhood, people of different races, people of different ethnic group backgrounds, people who don't look like you or talk like you, people who don't have the kind of money that you have, or maybe they have more money than you have, and God is calling you to care about them. I think one of the major aspects of Christianity that we often get wrong is that we talk about how Jesus, how we are created perfect, we are fallen, the sin enters the world, that Jesus comes, lives a perfect life, he dies on the cross, he's buried, he raises again, and he offers us salvation. And we talk about offering other people salvation, and we forget that in the meantime, from salvation to his return, that there should be restoration. That God uses you and uses me to influence the people around us for better. A world is hurting. A world is crying out. There's injustice everywhere. And Jonah is supposed to be influencing the people around him in a better way, yet he's asleep in the boat. Instead of impacting these men who are working for Christ or impacting them for God, Jonah says, I'm going to take a nap. Folks, we've been napping way too long and for way too many people. And God, I hope God doesn't have to hurl a storm to wake us up. Jonah is in the same quote-unquote neighborhood as these men in his life right now. Yet instead of trying to influence them for their common good, he's down in the boat and sleeping. Your community, your city, your state, our country should be better because Christians are involved in it. That as salt, we are here to preserve and to make things better. Jesus calls us salt of the earth. He says, if the salt loses its flavor, what good is it? And if we are not making things better, if we are not working for the common good, if we are not doing what God has called us to do, what good are we? And too many of us say, well, my faith's a private matter. It's just between me and God. If your faith is a private matter, it does no public good. God has called you to do good and to change the world and to make it better. So people at your work should be influenced in a positive way because of you. People in your neighborhood, people in your home, people around you, your friends, your family should be better because you care about them and the common good of them. You seek for their betterment. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus is, he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, he's preaching, and he makes this statement, he says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. May you work for the good of all around you. May you work for the restorative good of people in your circle of influence. And let your light shine so that God is glorified. Jonah gets in the boat. He goes down to the bottom. He has no care for the men. He has no care for the well-being of those around him. God has sent him to pagans. He runs from them, and God surrounds him with pagans who need to know about God. And instead of Jonah going to them and telling them about God, they go to him and say, the least you could do is pray. The least we could do as believers is pray for our country, for our community, for those around us. And in short, we are to be good neighbors. Believers must be neighbors. Jesus tells the parable of a man who goes down. And on his way down, he gets beat up. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it's from the mountain down to a lower part. He goes on this path, and it's a rough path. It's a place where it's known for violence. It's known for people who will beat you up and try to steal from you, and so it's one of those places you really want to travel during the day. Probably with a group of people, not alone, or at night. And down the mountain, down the path, this man walks. And he gets jumped. He gets beat up. He's thrown in a ditch. His bloody mess. He can't walk. He can't get up. He's unable to move around. And down the path comes a pastor. And the pastor sees the man. He notices the man. But he walks on the other side. He says, I'm too busy. I've got people to see. I've got things to do. And there the man lays in his own blood, unable to move, beaten nearly to death. And down the path comes another guy. And again, he notices him, but he says, I'm walking on the other side of the street because, you know, I don't want to get involved in this. If it was us, we'd probably roll up our windows and lock our doors. And he notices the guy, but he refuses to do him any good. And the guy still lays there, unable to move, near death, needing someone to nurse him back to health. And now comes the road a guy who's unexpected. He's not the kind of guy who would stop and help out this kind of guy. See, they're enemies. They don't like each other. They talk bad about each other. They have stereotypes of one another. Both of them think they're better than the other. And you could put anybody in this scenario. Maybe the guy's a Christian and it's a Muslim that comes down the street. Maybe he's a white guy and a black guy comes down the street. Maybe he's an American and it's an illegal alien who comes down the street and stops. See, the Muslim's not supposed to help the Christian. The black guy is not supposed to help the white guy. The illegal alien should not help the American. You fill in the blank. And what he does is he bends down and he puts his own shirt on him because the guy's been robbed, not only of his money, but his clothes. Took his tennis shoes and his watch and all that good stuff. He bends down and he picks him up, puts him in his own car. He drives him to a place that he could stay and get better. He tells the owner of the place, he says, look, here's a few hundred bucks. Take care of him. You know, get the medicine he needs, get the bandages to wrap him up. You know, if he needs a brace or something, you know, do whatever needs to be done for this man. And I'll be back through. I've got business to take care of. I'll be back through. When I come back, I'm going to drop in, check on him. If there's any more expenses, just do it and I will pay you back. So these smart people were asking Jesus, who's my neighbor? Jesus tells them a version of that story. So Jesus uses a Jew and a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans were not friends. They hated each other. They thought less of each other. They did not associate with each other. They refused to walk through each other's neighborhoods. They would take the long way around. There's no reason a Samaritan would take care of a Jew. So Jesus asks this good Jew, he says, which one was the neighbor? In the story, we expect the priest or we expect the Levite, the religious guys to do it. But Jesus tells them it's not the people that you expect to be your neighbor. You need to be a neighbor to those who are in need. And Jonah refuses to be a neighbor. And too often we refuse to be a neighbor. So my question for you today is, will you be a neighbor? Will you care about the common good of all those around you? Are you a quote-unquote good Samaritan or are you a Jonah? Does your presence in a place make it better? Do you being employed by your boss make your workplace a better place? Does your attendance to family events make them better? I'm not talking about funner. I'm not talking about in a way that there's more laughter. I'm talking about better, more righteous. And then I'm saying you go and you stick your nose up and your chest out and say, I'm better than everyone. I'm here so the notch of goodness has gone up. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you impact people in a way that they want to be better too. And as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that your light shines so that people want to glorify God, not you. They want to glorify your God. And in the verses today, we see Jonah trying to run away from reality, trying to escape his life, trying to escape what he is supposed to do. He goes down to the belly of the boat, and he just says, I'll just sleep it off. Trying to run away from these pagans. Trying to run away from these people who are not like me. And God chases after Jonah, and the pagans go to him and say, can you at least pray for us? Will you at least pray for your community? Will you at least pray for your neighborhood? Will you at least pray for the people at work? Will you at least pray for your family? Will you at least pray for your friends? Will you be a neighbor to them? The way Jesus wants us to be a neighbor. To make the common good of all those around us better. To look out for them. To care for them. To seek after justice for them. To be generous with them. Or will you just try to sleep it off? As the guys play, will you stand and respond to God? If you want to spend some time in prayer, the altar, it's available for you always. If you want someone to pray with you, grab them. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to do that. Father God, we thank you that you don't let us just run away, but that you chase after us the way you chased after Jonah. And God, I pray that we would be men and women who run to you, that our presence at a job or in a home or with friends and with family would be there to make there be a better place. That we would be the salt of the earth you called us to be. That we would be a light like a city on a hill. That we would not run, we would not hide. We would not go down to the belly of the vessel, but that we would run after you. God, I pray that we would impact our community for your good. In your name we pray. Amen.